Anyway, open your Bibles, please, to Matthew 24. We're going to get there in 1 second. I want to give you an announcement here of one of the agendas, what we've been talking about here. This is supposed to be in Tempo, Arizona, and it's a pinnacle of sustainable living. A neighborhood in Tempo, is that how you say it? I don't know. Arizona, huh?
Tempe.
Thank you for the correction. Has been called cul-de-sac and is striving to become America's first fledged 15-minute city. Now, some people, if you listen to them and they're running for election, they're going to call it the Freedom City. But remember I said watch out for when they're both pushing the same agendas?
Yes.
This is one of them. They're calling this one a 5-minute city, as you can see on their website. I'm not going to read all of this, but the concept is being more environmentally friendly. There is no personal property in this community. Everyone lives in a rented apartment. All modes of transportation in public and shared, whether it's a bike, scooter, electric vehicle, or train, everything's shared. Everything is electric, digitized, and connected to the internet. The internet of things. We've talked about that. They own nothing and they're happy. Where have we heard that before? The purpose of surveillance and social credit scoring, it won't come into effect until we have a central bank digital currency, at which point your money has been tokenized and pre-programmed to measure your carbon footprint. With digital surveillance, it will monitor and record even the most personal details of every individual within the city or pod within a city. These cities are voluntary right now. All of this data that they'll be collecting will be combined into a carbon footprint and fed back to the resident to inform them of whether they're living within the perimeters of what's considered sustainable. That Yuval Noah Harari, quote, "Those who own this, their personal data will know you better than you know yourself. And after you get used to obeying the nudges of the algorithms, you will no longer be in possession of your free will." Now that is a huge statement. God has given us free will. In this new system, little by little, they're not going to get it overnight either. They want to take away your free will. And he thinks that they can figure out how to hack humans. He has mocked the idea of humans possessing free wills. We simply obey the commands of the AI-driven algorithms incorporated into the apps on our smartphones, he says. I'm quoting him. And at some point, we will start to wear this technology. We're already doing it with watches and other wearables. And then they want to submit to having it under your skin. This is a 24/7 surveillance society to save it from the effects of climate. The promoters of the 15-minute concept also promise it will make your life more connected, safer, healthier. A report from one of these news stations promoted the community as helping with sustainability, which includes them giving up their vehicles. I remember telling somebody years ago about this, and they laughed at me and said, that'll never happen. The first community in the nation to be designed around car-free living. There is literally no place to park a vehicle. On and on and on it goes. So those are some of the agendas, and hopefully they won't get it as soon as they want it, but how many know? The Bible is more and more real every day about... So open your Bibles to Matthew here. We're going to talk about some things, and we're going to play a little game because I can't say some words, so I'm going to have to kind of, because if I say too much of this one word, W-A-R, it could be marked as not good. So we're going to kind of play a game because otherwise it's going to mark us. more and more my friends are getting knocked off of YouTube. This is really becoming an information WAR, right? So a famous quote from a merchant of the earth, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's passed away just recently. He said, quote, "Who controls the food? Who controls the food supply? Controls the people. Who controls the energy? Can control whole continents. Who controls the money? Can control the world." And this is what the enemy wants. He wants a one world. And he always has, since the Tower of Babel. So in Psalms 94, it says, "Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity shall boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it." The enemy doesn't think God sees all this. But there is a second coming, and we were singing about it. The second coming, he comes, and it's not going to be a pretty day because he's coming. That second coming is coming for judgment for the wicked. Mm-hmm. So here in Matthew 24, let's look here at verse 3. The disciples came unto Jesus, and they're asking him, and this is the same thing we are going to talk about tonight, some signs of the end times. The stage is being set, yeah. And we're going to look at a little bit of history to see how sometimes it's rinse and repeat. Some things change, but then there's also some things that are, we're starting to hear the sounds and the rumbles of conflict, aren't we, everywhere. So tell us these things, what shall be the sign of thy coming and in the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And I want to say no president, no prime minister, no senator, no councilman, no matter what, don't let any man deceive you, because deception is the number one sign. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now we're going to sit on this verse for a little bit. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And then they shall deliver us up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So he's talking about persecution. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures, shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So we see here the Lord's telling us to watch for the signs. And a lot of these signs are going to be like in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, they were not prepared. And if you talk to people today, they are not prepared. Right. They don't even have a clue. They just know things are rising, the prices, inflation. Oh, it'll go back down. Everything will go back down. But we see here that there's going to be conflicts and rumors of conflicts. And this is a sign of the end times. And there's so many hot spots in the world today. There's so much going on in the world today of conflict with nations rising against nation, right? But we're going to talk a little bit about these conflicts and what happens and who's behind these conflicts. Who decides when a nation goes to conflicts? Who's behind it? And now we have to see that the military technology today, it's even hard to imagine of what they're going to use. Like in the old conflicts, they used gases. And I wanted to share a testimony from my family. This is the thing. People don't realize that they're being set up. And they've always been set up to get gung-ho. And they push their agendas. And there's a certain way they play it. And if you live long enough, you see this little game. And when I first studied this in 2015, I just wept because my dad, my grandpa, which I'm going to talk about, which I've never met, but my grandpa died the year I was born, and he was gassed in the first conflict. And it was terrible. I'm terrible. People don't talk about how many people died in those conflicts, right? So these conflicts are maneuvered and engineered into existence to make profits for behind-the-scene corporate manipulators whose sons and daughters never serve or die in these battles. Think about that. This is from a veteran. Combat is not what it seems. It's for the benefit of the very few at the expense of very many. Some make huge fortunes. Many billionaires and millionaires come out of war. It's a very profitable business. Out of these conflicts, nations take territories. They take land. They change things around. But the general public faces broken hearts, broken homes, depression. Many people lose an eye, a hand, a leg. Many are blown up, many suffer and die. Now, my grandpa was gassed, and my cousin was just telling us this, in the fields or in the ditches, the first conflict, with chemical weapons. And he suffered. And he suffered with his lungs and he couldn't breathe. And my brother was telling, because I'm trying to get all this information with my older siblings and cousins and stuff, and they were saying how he was told, everyone thought he had asthma. That's what they told him in the war. Your husband is dying of asthma. But it wasn't asthma. It was from the mustard gas and the tear gas and the tons, I was studying this, the tons of chemicals that they used. And then when the war was done, just think of the tons of chemicals they threw in the oceans. And then the land that's polluted. Just think about all the terrible things that really come out of these conflicts that a lot of people are clueless because the younger generation has no idea the price that a nation pays when they go into battle. So he suffered till he died of lung issues. He died young. They said he had asthma from the conflict. And my grandma was trying to get some compensation, and they gave him no compensation. They tried and tried and tried, and they just wouldn't pay him for nothing. Now, the second conflict, my dad, he had a picture. My brother just reminded me of this. They had a picture of 60 men in his troop to Normandy, and it was on my mom's dresser until the day she died and he died. And there were 60 people in that picture, and 59 of them died. My dad was the only one that lived. And he wouldn't talk about it. The only things I remember my dad talking about was how it was propaganda. It was all propaganda. And I was, a junior in high school then. What's that, you know? And then the only other thing I remember, because I would ask him, I'd say, what's that in your ears? And what's that in your... He'd always be getting stuff out of his head. He said, it's shrapnel. So you know that he was in close combat. And he was shot in the hand. And because of that, he was taken somewhere, and that's why he didn't die with the rest of his people. But he lived feeling guilty. He lived with shame, and he ended up becoming an alcoholic. And I don't know what they do over there, but I heard a lot of things are free. They get you on this, I don't know what all, but there's a lot of things that are still mysterious of what happens over there. But he came back a mess. And he had shrapnel in his head and his ears. And shrapnel is fragments of a bomb, shell, or objects thrown out by an explosion. And that shrapnel is actually named after General Henry Shrapnel. He was a British soldier who invented the shell, that the sense of fragments of a bomb or a shell. And so if you were in combat, many of them had shrapnel in their heads, and that just shows you how close, and who knows, kill or be killed is what they trained you to do. And so my brother was telling me that for his wound, in he was a paratrooper as well, he broke his back, but he had that shot in his hand. He got a check for $16. Wow. And a Purple Heart from Normandy, but we had to go and get it. My stepmom had to get it and send all the information years later. It wasn't just, some of these things are not just bestowed on you. You have to fight for them, is what I'm trying to say. So what are we up for? What's happening in our world now today? We can see that, and we've all heard that there's going to be a third conflict. What will it involve? Well, we totally don't know yet, but there are some clues. But with this armed conflict, and it might even be totally different, we've heard different things are going to happen. We have more technology now, who knows what, but I heard today that they're going to institute the draft in Germany in 2025, the UK and France. That is, and we heard, we met a girl this summer, and she was going to a base in Texas, wasn't she? And she said, well, the draft now, they're going to have a draft, and she said they're going to have women in this draft. She was the first one that I'd heard about it. Well, way back when I studied this, I'd heard that there was going to be mandatory, you know what, which everyone laughed and told me I was a theorist. Won't even say that name. But along with that, it told us a few other things, and part of it, what this article I was reading, and I still have it, it talked about the draft. And that has always bothered me because my uncle, who was also a double Purple Heart recipient, he would stay with us during the summer, and he was a mess. He was always drinking. My dad was always drinking. And these people that came back from the war did not know how to deal with stuff. And we just basically, and my sister, too, this is something I don't know if I ever shared publicly, but she was engaged to this guy, or very close to being engaged, and he went to Vietnam and he came back in a wheelchair. And she would have been with him, but he would not have it. So just the whole effects of war on our families, my family being a military, a lot of military in my family. But with this, to get the people involved and to be behind these conflicts, there has to be propaganda. And there was, and what they want is, it's always the same thing. Propaganda is misleading information, half-truths and lies to influence the public's opinion through mass media. They have the media, they can say what they want. To manipulate, to sow hate and division. So what do? They want to justify hatred and vengeance. So who sets up these wars? Well, the Bible says that the money changers, we're going to talk a little bit about the banker boys, right? Always follow the money. They always want vengeance on our enemies and punishing and taking revenge by force to pay back and retaliate. And so they get this propaganda going, and then they start getting everybody all psyched up. My dad was 17 years old when he went to war. 17. Just a kid. And they had no idea what they were up for. I mean, who knew? So then you start watching for the propaganda. And I just say this is a warning because the Bible says in verse, all these different things, verse 6, you're going to hear of these and rumors of these conflicts. So as these rumors start, what are the things we're going to hear? We have dressed up speeches, love your country. Well, I don't know how they're going to pull that off this time because that's what they used the last conflict. But this one, the young people aren't so concerned now. We're seeing open borders everywhere and the whole thing about America is dissolving, in different countries as well. So they have messages and speeches, love our country, and then guilt and shame messages. Because if you don't, there's something wrong with you and you will be shamed, right? Then the fathers have been given this hoopla, send your sons and make them proud, make us proud and make us heroes. This whole propaganda thing about these conflicts. And they're made to feel ashamed if they don't join. The bankers finance the conflicts and their profits are secret. Who pays the bills? The people do in taxation. The people do in cemeteries. The people do in the VA hospitals. The people do. And then we see they're not being taken care of the way they should be taken care of. If you know any of them, you'll see, wow, why are they not being taken care of? Why are foreigners coming in with all this, but they aren't taken care of? Men who for a couple of years were trained to think of nothing but destroying the enemy. You're trained. That's all you think about. And rumor has it with my dad, he was taken away by a family that hid him. They didn't want war either. So many people don't want war. Then they were discharged and told to make an about face. You're not needed anymore. And many were destroyed mentally. And my dad was one of them. Post-traumatic stress disorder. My uncle said my dad had it pretty bad. He kept it from a lot of us, but the drinking was really, this is some way that these guys handle their stress and their night visions and or their night nightmares and all the different things they have. It's traumatic. And the things they had to do over there, they don't even want to talk about if you were in combat. So post-traumatic stress disorder, mental and behavioral disorder, stress, anxiety, and fear, trauma-related mental disorders. They used to call it, in the first conflict, shell shock. And now there's tons of substance use disorders. Night terrors, that's the word I was trying to think of. Substance use disorders because they don't know how to deal with the trauma that they faced. And with my dad losing everyone, he was the only one that came back. I mean, can you imagine that? Just thinking, how come I'm here? Why didn't I die? So this is not a pretty picture, but it's a real picture of what we see is going to be pushed in different nations right now. And we need to keep praying. They're starting this, they call it conscripting, which is really called the draft. We haven't heard of that for a while, and we aren't talking about it in the USA yet, but you know about this new order. It's one nation and they all do the same thing. Napoleon said, all men are enamored of decorations. They positively hunger for them. So the boys like to be decorated with medals. Do something for a medal, a medal, a medal. This is all part of it. The ministers were brought into the propaganda. They were then, and I believe they will be now. We saw what happened 4 years ago with the propaganda of what their agendas were, and they will be again. They brought God into it. God is on our side. It's his will. We bang bang the enemies. To please the same God, the pastors of the opposing side did the same thing. And it's made out by all these pastors to be a glorious adventure. This was the past. So who pays? The soldier pays, his family pays. The soldiers suffer. They suffer when they return home with their mind broken, their body parts missing, the family suffering, and the soldier has a hard time readjusting himself. A few profit and many pay. They said 60 million is estimated and the second one to die. 60 million deaths. In 1916, Woodrow Wilson was reelected on a platform that he had kept us out of the battles and promised to keep us out of. W-A-R. Why am I saying this again? Watch out when our leaders promise us that they are not going to do it. Because within 5 months later, he asked Congress to declare conflict on Germany. Our boys were sent off and told this would make the world safe and end all of the conflicts. Let's look at John chapter 2. Why am I saying all this? Because we have to prepare our hearts and pray for the rumors and the things that are happening around the world. And we have not seen this in our country. But the people that I am talking to have said they believe some things are going to happen on American soil that has never happened before. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball or whatever. And I sure hope it doesn't. But I just say we have to make sure that we're not falling for the propaganda, getting behind all the hurrah, and really count the cost and not be controlled and manipulated into something that is not even true. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes with any conflict and what their goals are and who profits and who's pushing the agendas. But the Bible says that the wicked men will get worse and worse. So they're not getting better, right? They're getting worse and worse. So in John chapter 2, these are the same people I think we're dealing with, that Jesus was dealing with here. Follow the money, right? You can't serve God and money. And these people are Christ deniers and they're lovers of money. And they're not lovers of humanity, as we know. Verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting, the money changers. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Now we talked about the merchants of the earth. The merchants of the earth are the wealthy men of the earth. And his disciples, remembering that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. So who are these money changers? They worked alongside the businessmen to make a profit for themselves and corrupting the temple grounds, the merchants of the earth. And we still have those merchants of the earth. And Jesus today would run them out today. And that's why a lot of people aren't going to church, because they see the same thing happening. And then we see it happening on our television and our radios, right? Coming through, so-called. We were watching an old Family Feud. It was Richard Dawson. It was way back there, I think. It was before it got really perverted. And one of his questions was, who thinks they're going to heaven but they're not? And no one could get that last one. And this is the world now. TV evangelists was the answer. And then Richard said, yeah, just keep those, what do you say, keep that money coming in. I was like, even the world knows that these people. It's just amazing. I just thought, wow, way back in the 60s, here we go. So the money changers, what did they do? They took advantage of the poor. And it's the same thing that's happening today. I wonder, this is from gotquestions.org, I believe. The money changers in the temple courts were similar to tax collectors, and they extorted money from their own people. They were seeking to profit financially from the worship of God. Wherever passion and zeal are found, there will also be those who seek to profit from that zeal. Paul wrote to Timothy about such people. False teachers who found a way to make a fortune off the gospel. Modern versions of the money changers flood the airways, promising to exchange your hard-earned money for blessings, healing, and favor. Be careful who you listen to, right? And then lastly, from my notes, is in that first conflict, it was called the chemists, W-A-R. The use of toxic chemicals as weapons dates back many, many, many years. But the first large-scale use of chemical weapons was due to that first conflict. The types of weapons employed range from disabling chemicals, such as tear gas, to lethal agents, chlorine and mustard gas, to harass and disable the enemy. Mustard gas caused internal and external bleeding and attacked the bronchial tubes, stripping off the mucous membranes. This was extremely painful, and they were always fighting for breath. And my cousin, when he was telling us this about my grandpa that I never got to meet because he died because of this, he said he just suffered so. He started weeping, telling us he suffered so from that gas. And they said over 190 tons of chemicals were used. 85% of the 90,000 deaths caused by these weapons, 85% were from the chemicals themselves. I just pray we don't have war, our young kids don't have to, our grandkids don't have to go off. I mean, this is something we really need to pray. And let's go back and close here with Matthew again. Some people are so excited to get rid of other people, and they're just like, oh, just bomb them. You have no idea. That is not the love of God. That is not the heart of the Lord. That is not Christianity. And you can't believe what these people are doing behind the scenes because they're the money changers. So Jesus said, watch for the signs. Take heed that no man deceive you. Watch out for the wars and rumors of wars. And then the end is not yet. Be at peace. So how do we handle this? It just seems like one thing after another and after another is coming after us in these days. The enemy wants to wear us out. We have to pray for courage. We have to pray for boldness. Yeah. We're not timid. We're not weak. The Lord is valiant. He wins. And then one of the other things, he said, I'll give perfect peace to those whose mind is stayed on him. We need to pray for our mind to be on the Lord. Amen. And that he has our back. There's some things we can't control anyway. As much as we love to be controlling, we just can't control certain things. But we have a choice and we have a will. We still have a will. Mm-hmm. The enemy wants to take it away, but he can't because we have a will, right? Do not consent to these injections. There's going to be more and more and more coming because they want to change the temple. They want to change the inside of you. You are the temple of the Lord. You are the, there's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 6. Now through the death, Jesus' resurrection, our bodies are the temples. We've been bought with a price. Glorify God in these bodies. We have to glorify God in it. And don't trust. I want to know ingredients. What ingredients are in these different things? Because more is on their way. Because they want to change and invert everything God made. So why do we have to have messages like this? So you're warned. You're warned to stay away and know what the enemy's doing and do not consent. That's one of the things of what the enemy does is you always have to sign off on things. You have to say yes.
That's right.
Right now.
Yeah.
It's not forced. It's still a choice. So remember, the enemy wants to get these wearable things inside your bodies. He so wants to destroy the temple. And don't let him. That's one hill we have to die on. Mm-hmm. Lord, we're going to glorify you. We're going to stand for you. We're not going to be weak or cowardly. We're going to be bold in you. And we thank you, Lord, you have our back. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We'll say of the Lord, He's our refuge, He's our comforter, He's our counselor, He's our shepherd, we shall not want, right? Keep your relationship with the Lord at this day and hour. Don't put Him on a back burner so that you can have peace through the midst of the storm. Amen. In Jesus' name, and everyone said.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.